of our show. It does go quickly, as I said.
Yep.
And Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jeff, thank you also. That's very much. And for those of you who are listening, if you're interested in finding out more about what I do, you can find me on the web at www.alterolcounseling.net. That's Alterol with two L's, counseling.net. You can also call me at 908-237-2899. That's 908-237-2899. I do have a private practice here in town, so if you're looking to make an appointment, I'd be more than happy to meet with you. I don't keep a waiting list. And please, by all means, follow me on Facebook under Counselors Chat. So I'm looking forward to meeting you there. Again, it's Counselors Chat on Facebook. And I do hope you have a great day. And thank you again, Tom, Jeff, for being with you. I think it was great. And you're doing great work, both of you gentlemen. And thank you for your service to our country.
Thank you.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The president has maintained for a long time that this is a states' rights issue and not one for the federal government. So while there will be further guidance coming out on this,
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The president has maintained for a long time that this is a states' rights issue and not one for the federal government. So while there will be further guidance coming out on this, I think that all you have to do is look at what the president's view has been for a long time.
White House spokesman Sean Spicer talking to reporters about revised rules on bathrooms coming from the Trump administration, which will supersede anything that came from the Obama administration. Spicer said if people don't like the law, there are ways to change it.
Our job shouldn't be to figure out, should this individual not have to abide by the law? Should this individual get a pass? If we want to change the law, we've got a very amazing process here in this country to both create and change laws.
President Trump blasting liberal activists, saying they were responsible for disruptions at congressional town halls. Constituents have been showing up to speak to GOP members of Congress, only to be harassed by loud anti-Trump activists. USA Radio News.
And now, Jonathan Cahn opens up today's mystery from the Book of Mysteries.
In the Book of Mysteries, the sun is setting over a garden in which sit the disciple and the teacher, who opens up the mystery of Messiah's last day. Every Hebrew day begins at sundown the night before. So Messiah's last day began at sunset Thursday night. And that was the moment it all began. The Passover, the Last Supper, the Garden of Gethsemane, the trial, the crucifixion, the death, his body in the garden tomb. From sunset to sunset. Which day was it? It all happened on the sixth day. Why? Because the sixth day is the day of man's creation. So the sixth day is the day of man's redemption. So as the sixth day in creation ended in a garden, so the sixth day in redemption ends in a garden tomb. And as man was given life on the sixth day, so we are now given life, new life on the sixth day, which is the day of Messiah.
Begin a journey that will change your life. The Book of Mysteries, now available online and wherever books are sold. Or go to mysteriesbook.com. That's mysteriesbook.com.
New court records show the man who shot 9 people at Emmanuel AME Church in South Carolina planned to go to a second church. Here's Chris Barnes.
After killing the 9 at Emmanuel AME Church, Roof traveled to Branch AME Church about a half hour away. The church was also holding a Bible study on that June 2015 evening. The new information was revealed through GPS data that was not presented in court during Roof's trial. But Roof told the FBI he was too tired after the first attack to continue shooting. The 22-year-old Roof was sentenced to death in a recent federal trial. I'm Chris Barnes.
Tonight's Powerball jackpot standing at $403 million. That's the payout over 30 years. A single winner opting for a lump sum would get $244 million. The current jackpot, the 10th largest on record. The biggest ever was in January 2016 when the kitty grew to $1.6 billion between split along three winning tickets. USA Radio News.
Allergy sufferers are hearing a lot of numbers these days about symptoms and relief. But the number sufferers want most is zero, as in zero nasal allergy symptoms. And nothing gets you closer to zero than Nasacort. Because unlike antihistamines that stop only one cause of your allergy symptoms, Nasacort stops more. And stopping more gets you closer to zero. For 24-hour relief of your worst nasal allergy symptoms, including congestion, choose Nasacort. It stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
If you're like me and you suffer from insomnia, this story might just be for you.
Close your eyes now and rest.
New York sleep experts say taking a shower before bed helps you get to sleep and stay asleep. Dr. Diane Augelli of Weill Cornell Medical Center says the main trick is not to start too late, or you'll throw off your body's circadian rhythm. Dr. Shelby Harris of Montefiore Medical Center says the perfect time to take a night shower is 90 minutes before laying your head on your pillow. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
First court hearing today for a gang member who shot and killed a police officer over the weekend. Jason Campidonia has the details.
The known gang member is accused of shooting two officers at the scene of an accident, leaving one of them dead in Whittier earlier this week. The 26-year-old was also shot, but he's out of the hospital and expected to survive. The man is also accused of shooting and killing his cousin hours before the shootout with cops. The man has been in and out of jail over the past few years, and the LA County Board of Supervisors has called for a full investigation into his criminal history. Jason Campidonia, Los Angeles.
Things slowly returning to normal at Philadelphia International Airport after the FAA grounded American Airlines flights for 2 hours because of a computer glitch. The carrier says its system failed to come back online early today after a planned overnight internet outage. For more news and analysis, check out westernjournalism.com. This is USA Radio News.
And good morning and welcome to a new edition of Modern Design. I'm very excited today because we're beginning our new time slot, which is now 1 to 3. Modern Design will be on every Wednesday, Eastern Standard Time, from 1 to 3. And I'm very happy to have back in studio again, Jane DeHeaven. Good morning, Jane.
Hi there. It's afternoon, Rich. You're still not used to the new afternoon.
I have to say good afternoon, not good morning. Oh, wow. I'm glad I have you here to keep me focused. Okay, let's start by looking at this afternoon's weather. Okay, currently it's partly cloudy and 48 degrees. This afternoon tells us that it's going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 60 degrees, which for February is amazing. Tonight, it's going to be partly cloudy, then patchy fog with a low of 42. On Thursday, there'll be patchy fog, then sunny with a high of 69 degrees.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Get the barbecue up. On Thursday night, there will be a chance of showers, 30% with a low of 48. On Friday, there's a slight chance of showers with a high of 66. Friday night, chance of showers with 51. And on Saturday, there's a high of 68 degrees with showers likely. Well, I think the weather is apropos for today's topic, Jane. Our topic happens to be getting ready for spring. Almost seems like it should be saying get ready for summer because we're in spring, don't you think?
Well, no, real spring doesn't start until, I think it's March 25th, isn't it? The real spring, although it sure has felt like spring the last couple of days.
When it's 68 degrees during the week, I kind of feel like we're already in spring. And I think that's affecting the way people are acting and reacting to things, don't you?
Exactly.
I think it's speeding up a lot this year because we've had such a strange winter. You know, and we had that one bout of that one day of snow, but then just it's been in the 60s for as long as I can remember, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I thought this topic would be apropos, which is getting ready for spring. I think if we had weeks of snow and ice, we would be sort of like premature. But when it's this sunny and warm out, I mean, I haven't even worn a coat the past couple of days when I go out because it just feels like we're already in spring. And that's a good thing because that gets people out and doing things and being more active. But it also puts our minds forward with starting to prepare for the spring season. So we spoke earlier this morning, Jane, and you were talking about the funk you normally feel in February.
February funk. February is probably the month that all of our major projects started back at home. I mean, when it just gets to be so gray and so dismal for so long, you're ready for a change.
Yeah. So, this year in particular, we're able to do things that are a little bit earlier, but we should start thinking about our projects and things that we're planning for spring. And even though our winter has been mild, it does do damage, particularly outside.
Mm-hmm.
This year has been specifically not very good because the deer population has thrived through the winter. So there's a lot of munching on plants. And many of my clients tell me that they are looking at sort of gardens that have been decimated.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if you're better insulated and you haven't taken stock of your garden, but I've noticed a lot of my plants, especially with softer leaves, kind of really have gotten chewed up already. So.
They're like salad.
Yeah, they are. The softer, the better, and so on. So when we talk about two different areas, we're going to break it up, and we have 2 hours today, so we really can cover these topics, which is kind of exciting. We're going to talk about getting the outside of your house first ready for spring, and that is everything from the facade and your driveway and landscaping and shutters and all sorts of things you can do to get your outside ready for spring, thinking about having those the windows set up to have the windows cleaned and have a fresh spring start. And then we're going to talk in the second hour more about the inside things and the projects. I, on a daily basis, get to attend a lot of functions with different vendors, and I have a really new color palette for spring that I'm starting to see. I'm starting to see a return to color again, which is very exciting, in all the fabrics that I've been looking at and all the magazines, we're seeing a return to color, which is wonderful. And there's some really nice, pretty, pretty spring colors this year. All right, we're going to go to our first set of commercial messages, and we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design here on 100 in Chamber Radio.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand, or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. We are in our new time slot now. We are officially an afternoon show going on from 1 to 3. And with that, we're able to bring you more content, and we'll be bringing lots of guests, probably more than one in a segment, and doing a lot of topical things related to the season, the spring in particular. So we are still getting used to our new studios. They have us kind of set up weird. I have to sort of turn around to talk to my guests, so we'll work on that in the weeks. But Jane and I were talking this morning about today's topic, which is getting ready for spring. And I don't know about you, Jane, but do you have a ritual when you start to get ready for spring? It certainly is probably not this early, but let's say we fast forward to the month of March. What do you normally do initially when you start to say, we got to get ready for spring on the outside of your house?
Well, kind of the first day or so that it's warm again, that you can go out without having to have a coat on, just like to start raking out all the garden beds.
Yeah.
I mean, they get really raggedy over the winter time, and,
right.
You know, to clean them out, put down new mulch, that always, you know, makes me feel like it's the start of spring.
Yeah. I know the leaves, the dried leaves that are in the beds really look terrible. Now, do you have any grasses in your yard?
No, we never did that. We've got ivy. We've got more traditional evergreens.
One of the things that, if many of you have grasses out there, because they're great, they're impervious to deer, and they give you some visual interest, is to make sure that you take them down at the end of the season. And the first couple of the years that I experimented with grasses, I was very happy with them because they gave you something, a presence, and the deer don't go near them. And I decided I wanted to keep them up in the first couple of years so that there was something interesting to look at in the winter. But if you do that, they get very raggedy looking. They really look terrible around the snow. So the best bet if you have ornamental grasses is around Thanksgiving time when you're doing your fall cleanup. Cut them to the base, let them go under the snow for the winter, and you'll see like magic. You'll have beautiful, fresh new shoots, and they'll come back to the way they were before, only maybe a little bit bigger. So something that I would definitely keep in mind if you have, and many of us in Hunterdon County in particular do have ornamental grasses because they're very hardy and deer resistant. So that's something that you want to consider. And then what Jane said about getting your beds ready is one of the first things you can do, getting all those leaves out of those beds. And I don't know how they do it, because even if there's you have a cleanup, somehow those leaves find their way to those beds again.
It's the wind over the wintertime.
Exactly, to clean out those beds. And then mulch. I don't usually start my mulch that early. When do you normally start mulch?
To tell you the truth, as soon as we clean everything out.
Oh, you do mulch
early
on.
Just to get it looking nicer.
Let's talk about mulch, because I think mulch really does a lot for how not only a garden bed looks, but how your property looks in general. Is there a specific mulch that you like to use?
We usually do the shredded pine bark mulch. That's just our personal preference. But
right.
I mean, it depends on your house, your taste,
right.
How much work you want to do.
Exactly. One of the things that I've started to do the past, I'd say maybe 5 or 6 years, is I found that when I was working with lighter color mulches, that they sort of dissipated, that the sun faded them, and then by July or so, it looked like there wasn't mulch in the beds. So someone had suggested to me, actually a landscaper, that I use a dyed black mulch, and I went to look at it, and I thought, oh, I wouldn't want dyed black mulch, it's very false looking. Well, I went with a dark brown mulch, and even with the dark brown mulch, by the end of August, it looked like it needed to be refreshed. And so the following year, I said, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get the dyed black mulch. Well, something funny about the dyed black mulch is you put it down, and the next day it goes from black to coffee brown. I mean, it oxidizes like overnight. And it really, for me, in my projects and my own home, it holds its color throughout the season and through the fall. We have wonderful September, October, even November, where you have fall blooming flowers there, and you do look at those gardens and so on. So for me, it's been a win to do the dyed black mulch. It does not stay black for more than a day, and it's this really rich dark brown that kind of carries.
Ah, good to know.
The other thing is some people like to do their mulch with in bags of mulch. that they sort of slit and sort of slide in the door. And other people like to have it delivered.
Well, I guess it depends on the size of your property. I mean, here right in town, we just get bags of mulch. We don't need a truckload. But certainly if you've got, you know, significant plantings, it makes sense to get a truck.
Right, right. Well, there's good and bad to that, because I have had mulch delivered. And when they deliver it, you have to certainly put a tarp down. But you can't have it there too long. And when you have a lot of mulch delivered, it's a project.
Yes.
And you feel pressure under you to get rid of that mulch. You wouldn't want to put it on your lawn. You don't want it to block a driveway bay. So it can be a problem. For me, to be honest with you, even though I have some significant beds there, I have liked in the past few years to actually just get the bags, because I could work at my own pace. I could slit a bag in one spot, slide it, and then spread it. And it seemed more doable than having this mound of mulch created to the space. You want to be very careful, though, when you start after the beds are cleaned with the mulch, is that you get mulch that is a proper mulch. A lot of times in towns, the roots are at the bases of trees that have been cut up. They mulch, and you can take that, but often they're diseased, and you can really ruin your plants.
And weed seeds as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So you don't want to do that. You want to get certified mulch that's been meant for that purpose and will give you the result that you want to get. The next thing that I want to talk about is your bulbs, your spring bulbs. And I have to say, Jane, as I was walking through our new studios, I don't know if you noticed or not, along the walkway, there are planters that are sort of just there right now, rectangular cement planters. And the daffodil heads are actually up. And I actually see the yellow of the daffodil the second week in February. That's amazing.
That is amazing. Let's hope we don't get a frost that kills them off.
What's the story with planting bulbs? How, if the ground is soft, if it didn't freeze, how quickly can you plant them? Because
well,
they're pretty hardy, right?
They're very hardy, but traditionally in New Jersey, you plant in the spring. Or, I'm sorry, you plant in the fall for the spring.
Right.
You want the soil to still be around 60 degrees or so.
Okay.
But get them in the ground really before Thanksgiving.
Sure.
So that they have a nice long time to winter in the cold, so they're ready to sprout up again
right.
in the spring. Interesting factoid, though, which I just researched and saw today, HGTV says if you happen to find a bag of bulbs in your garage that you didn't get a chance to plant in the fall or didn't remember were there,
right.
go ahead and plant them in January or February. I mean, it's better than letting them rot.
Right.
I mean, they may or may not come up, but
right.
it's worth a shot. You could
yeah.
have a beautiful bed.
Right. No, exactly, and starting them in the springtime. Daffodils have been my flower of choice because the more unprotected your land is, the more they're susceptible. And in the early stages when the deer and the predators are hungry, they're really going to go after anything. But the narcissus bulb, the daffodils, are poisonous to deer, and they somehow know to stay away from it. And you could have fields and fields of yellow, which is great. In the more recent years, they've gotten very good. Some of the better catalogs like Brex and some of the wonderful, some of the better catalogs are making daffodils now in other colors. I've seen white daffodils. I've seen pink daffodils, which is a new hybrid, giving you sort of a variation of color or variety if you're not so into just having the sea of yellow and doing things that are a little bit different. I've also been told that there's a flower, grape hyacinth.
Oh, I love grape hyacinth.
And it's a nice pairing with the daffodil, giving you sort of the blue and the yellow together, that sort of purpley blue and yellow together. But when I planted them, the deer ate around my bulb, my daffodil bulbs, and they ate every grape hyacinth.
Aww.
So I don't think that's a good or proper one. What do you like to plant for spring? What do you like to see in spring?
Well, I really like the grape hyacinths as well, but we've done, because of the color scheme of our house, pink tulips.
Okay.
And that was just phenomenally great looking when it came out.
For me, tulips have always been, I've been in other areas that I live in that aren't so rural. I didn't have luck with tulips once the flower started to emerge, because there were other predators like chipmunks that ate the flower head off. In fact, when I was living in Bedminster, New Jersey, I had a white house with black shutters, so I did red tulips, and they were almost there, and I came home one night and it was sort of like the Addams Family, you know, the bouquet with no heads. Every head was gone, and it was some sort of a chipmunk that ate the heads off of them. So you've had luck with not having predators with tulips?
Yeah, we've been pretty lucky.
Okay. I mean, so they're so nice and architectural. And then once you have a tulip that's in the ground, how long does that flower actually last?
Oh, you mean coming up in the spring?
When you actually get the flower.
As a flower, you mean if you cut it or in your yard?
No, no, in your yard when it goes from a bud to a full flower. How much time do you have with that when it does its once a spring?
I would say at least a good week, but it really is dependent on the weather. I mean, if you get, you know, a huge rainstorm,
Yeah, no, that's very frustrating when you look forward to that 1 week a year that you have them. So tulips are terrific, and I love when they're planted in bunches of the same color. It's so terrific. I see people planting incorrectly where they plant sort of in a row, and it looks like corn. Did you ever see that? You really have to group them together. Now, I feel that tulips can be different colors, but I think for visual impact, when you do groups of one color and then groups of the next color, I think they look the best.
I agree with that. Yeah. Although I will say I tend to just be monochromatic. I mean, I love to have all the pink tulips with the blue-grape hyacinths.
Right, and then the color combination goes well with the house.
Yes.
I want to talk a little bit about the house itself and things that you can do as the spring starts to approach. I'm getting ready for spring. You know, the winter is very tough on a house, the facade of a house, the shutters, the doors, your deck. And it's already time to start thinking about doing some of that maintenance stuff before we get into full season. And one of the things I do a lot, especially if someone is looking to put their house on for spring market, is to freshen it up. And there's no better sort of quick fix than to put a fresh coat of paint on your front door and your shutters, especially after a winter time and everything looks so dull. And just put a fresh coat, even if you're doing the same color of paint, a fresh coat of semi-gloss paint on your shutters and front door really make a place look fresh for the season.
Exactly. I mean, it's hard to believe how much fading you get you get that fresh coat of paint on it.
Yeah,
it's like
amazing.
Day and night.
It really does. It brings it back to life. And the same thing holds true for your pots. If you have an iron pot, I know I have black iron pots in my house. Last year I painted them after all these years, and they just look fresh and new, and they really bring, you know, something to the table when you get your this year's allotment of plants. So definitely makes a difference to freshen things up.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing could be said true of your deck or your patio. I know you have a big front porch area. Is that painted or stained?
It's painted.
Painted. So as a maintenance thing, how often, how long can you go, how many seasons where you have to paint it again?
I would say at least 3, sometimes 5. It depends how much weather you get. I mean, sometimes if you've got, you know, just a crazy winter with a lot of snow shoveling and, you know, mailman tracking back and forth.
Right.
In a case like that, maybe 3 years. But other cases where it's not so much, 5.
Right. One of the things that people do that I think is also a mistake, and you'll notice this if you've done it, is you really can't leave clay pots out. If you do terracotta is meant for warmer climates, and it's very susceptible to the freezing and thawing. So if you have them out, you'll notice before you go spend the money to put the topsoil and plant, look at the pots all the way around. They often are cracked when you actually go to do that. So you want to bring in the fall, you want to bring your terracotta pots inside, put them in the garage, put them in the basement, and then bring them out in the springtime. Don't leave them out all year long. Sometimes with cement pots, you can fare better. Sometimes not. Over time, you will find that you will have severe cracking with them as well, because they're just susceptible to the changes of freezing and thawing. What do you do with most of your pots?
We don't use a lot of terracotta, but when we have, exactly what you said, I mean, put them away in the shed, put them away in the garage,
sure.
Make sure that all the soil is out of them, you know, rinse them, scrub them before you put them away. Otherwise, you're just inviting problems when you go to use them again.
Exactly. Now, do you have any boxwoods on your property?
A few. Actually, the one that we have really needs a haircut.
Okay.
So.
Do you know when the best time is to prune a boxwood? Is it after the season? Is it before? Is it something that you do like in the fall, or is it better to do in the spring? Or
you know what? I'm not really sure about that, mm-hmm. so I don't want to give anybody misinformation. I do know that we've generally just given them like the barest of trims.
Sure.
So I think it almost is time to call in a real landscaper to get some professional insight on that.
To sort of keep the rounded edge, is that what it is?
To keep the rounded edge, exactly. Sure. And I think... I'm not sure about this, but if we did prune at this time, it would encourage some new growth in the spring. I think if you prune too late in the fall, you've got bald shrubs for the entire winter.
I think probably it would be a good time to do it. I mean, we check with your landscaper first, because in essence, what the it becoming out of shape is new growth. So if you cut new growth early enough, new growth will reappear and you'll get a better or a livelier shrub, because it will have new growth around it that will become mature.
Mm-hmm.
Boxwoods, personally, are one of my favorite. I love the architecture of boxwood. You know, deer don't like it because it has a terrible smell, but I like the smell of boxwoods. I just think it's kind of a smell that reminds me of being a kid and around a pool and bluestone and boxwoods. I just like that whole look, and I think they're very architectural. I love the look of them. I like even in... when you decorate for Christmas, when they have boxwood garlands, I just think they're just a beautiful plant in
general. I love boxwood too. I mean, in fact, I have a very strong memory of being a kid and going to Mount Vernon,
right.
And they have beautiful boxwoods there that, you know, some of which have been nursed along since George Washington's time.
And they have a very nice architectural look, I think, more than other
shrubs. Exactly. If you keep them sheared and beautiful, you can't go wrong.
You can't.
Very formal but elegant,
right. And
taste. Tasteful, and timeless.
Right, and deer resistant. All right, Jane, we're going to go to our news, and we'll be back in a little bit with more of Modern Design, our new expanded show from 1 to 3 after these.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The last administration had so many carve-outs for who could be and who couldn't be adjudicated that it made it very difficult for the customs and enforcement people to do their job and enforce the laws of this country.
White House spokesman Sean Spicer speaking to reporters about instructions given to DHS from the Trump administration cutting out Obama exemptions when it comes to immigration.
The message from this White House and from the DHS is that those people who are in this country and pose a threat to our public safety or have committed a crime will be the first to go.
An MSNBC host is in hot water after stating she believes the media should be telling people what to think. Mika Brzezinski was responding to Donald Trump's demonization of the media.
He could have undermined the messaging so much that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is our job.
No one challenged her assertion. Media is supposed to tell you what to think. USA Radio News.
Do you look in the mirror and scream, "What's wrong with my hair?" Repair your hair with the guaranteed results of Ovation Cell Therapy.
Ovation Cell Therapy's revolutionary formula of vital proteins and key nutrients is used worldwide with amazing success stories you can read at ovationhair.com. Stories of thicker, stronger, longer, and healthier hair. Read about clients who say they will never use anything else.
Cell Therapy by Ovation is so unique, it can't be found in any other hair care line. And Ovation is so confident you'll love the results, they'll offer a 365-day, 100% money-back guarantee. No one else does that.
Ovation really works. Revitalize your dry, brittle, lifeless hair with Ovation Cell Therapy at ovationhair.com. Instantly save as a new customer by selecting USA News in the survey at checkout. That's ovationhair.com. And remember to select USA News for your new customer discount.
ovationhair.com.
The severe storms in California may have gone away, but the flooding is increasing. Here's correspondent Mark Mayfield.
Drenching rains and gale-force winds are creating life or death emergencies in Northern California. Firefighters rescued more than 200 people trapped in flooded homes in San Jose yesterday. Floodwaters are keeping thousands more away from their homes. People who were rescued were washed down with soap and clean water to remove residue from water that swept over sewer lines and through garbage and engine fuel. Only then were they taken to shelters. Almost 2 inches of rain fell on San Francisco, and other Bay communities got more than 4 inches of rainfall from storms that blew in Monday and Tuesday.
America's top diplomat is in Mexico City for high-level meetings. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly both set to meet with their Mexican counterparts to talk about border security, trade, and other key issues. The two men are expected to take a hard line when it comes to border security, in line with the statements made by President Trump about protecting America's southern border. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Allergy sufferers are hearing a lot of numbers these days about symptoms and relief. But the number sufferers want most is zero, as in zero nasal allergy symptoms. And nothing gets you closer to zero than Nasacort. Because unlike antihistamines that stop only one cause of your allergy symptoms, Nasacort stops more. And stopping more gets you closer to zero. For 24-hour relief of your worst nasal allergy symptoms, including congestion, choose Nasacort. It stops more of what makes you miserable. Use as directed.
The state of Colorado is starting something new when it comes to giving marijuana to its citizens, a drive-through pot shop. Here's the story from Mark Mayfield.
Along with cheeseburgers and tacos, Colorado residents are getting drive-through marijuana. A drive-through pot shop is coming to the town of Parachute, east of Grand Junction along I-70. Green Cross Colorado has won approval to provide drive-up pot sales at a former car wash. Parachute's mayor says, personal feelings aside, without recreational marijuana sales, the town would be in deep financial trouble. Selling marijuana out the window figures to drive more people to Parachute's restaurants and shops.
A man accused of murdering a Rutgers College student has been caught in the Dominican Republic. Scott Pringle has the story.
Essex County prosecutors say U.S. Marshals rounded up Freyned Ramirez in the Dominican Republic. Ramirez and the other suspect, Marcus Felix, have been charged with murdering a Rutgers student and robbery. Authorities say 21-year-old Shani Patel of Toms River was shot and killed in April of last year during a robbery at an off-campus apartment in Newark. Patel's roommate also shot. He survived. Scott Pringle, New York.
Crews cleaning graffiti from several iconic Washington, D.C. monuments. The National Park Service says it could take up to 2 weeks to clear the messages scrawled in permanent black marker on the Lincoln Memorial, Washington Monument, and the World War II Memorial. Park police believe a single person is likely responsible for the damage. They're asking for the public's help in trying to determine who did it. USA Radio News.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. Our new time slot is 1 to 3 Eastern Standard Time. With me in studio live today is Jane DeHaven, who's been a guest on my show many times before, talking all things spring. And today's topic happens to be getting ready for spring. Our first hour is going to be devoted to the outside of your house. And then in our new hour, too, we're going to talk about all the wonderful new things and bunch of stuff to talk about how to get your house ready for spring on the inside. But I did want to say a couple things about my business, Maven Hill Designs. My main location is right here in Flemington at 1 U.S. Highway 31, Flemington, New Jersey. Our phone number is 908-884-0770, 908-884-0770. If you'd like to do anything, whether it be just some accessories or some candles, or maybe you're looking for a piece of furniture, we have wonderful things available, and things are always changing, artwork, and so on. I do share my store with John McLean from Rugs to Riches, so if you're looking for an area rug, or maybe you want to put a stair runner on, all that is available in our store. That's 1 U.S. Highway 31 in Flemington, New Jersey, at the Flemington Circle. The phone number is 908-884-0770. I've also recently acquired two new locations. One is in Chatham, New Jersey, and if you happen to be in that neck of the woods or right next to the Short Hills Mall, that is 82 Main Street in Chatham, New Jersey. And come visit us at our new location. We have over 2,500 square feet and two floors to look at wonderful pieces of furniture and accessories. And finally, our final store, our third store, is just about to have its grand opening in March, and that's Maven Hill Maplewood in the Maplewood Village train station. And that address is 191B, like boy, Maplewood Village, Maplewood, New Jersey. If you're following me on social media, you'll see that I've been posting some wonderful pictures of the three stores and what we have to offer. And again, you can always reach me at 908-884-0770. So our topic today happens to be getting ready for spring. And Jane and I were talking about things you can do outside to get your house ready for your outside ready for spring. And then we'll talk about what to do for the inside. Are there any flowers that you particularly like as spring flowers? Maybe things that you don't necessarily plant yourself? In this house, I don't have any forsythia, but I always used to love having forsythia in my yard. Is that something that you have?
Forsythia we did have. We no longer have it. It really, really got big to the point that it was taking up almost the entire front yard. We
have
a small in-town lot.
Right.
But I miss it. I mean, it was one of the very first signs of spring.
Sure.
And we had an ornamental cherry tree as well, which we loved. Beautiful pink flowers. In fact, I think we picked the color of our shutters to match the flowers.
Sure.
And then also, you know, magnolia. We've got magnolia in the front as well.
That's a beautiful tree. Very appropriate to the style of your house. It just goes so well together. Some of the things that I like to see, and I like the progression. I remember being a kid walking home from the bus to the house, is seeing that transition of winter to spring. And one of the first flowers that I remember seeing as a kid poking through the snow was something called snowdrops. And crocus. But I always remember it's snowdrops first. And they would come up, and there's not much to them, but I thought, something's going on there. And then soon after, sometimes it was even days, you'd see that purple or yellow crocus. And I love the crocus. In fact, what I usually do, and it's sort of a fake out this time of the year, if it's a snowy year, I'll go to the supermarket even, and sometimes they sell those things and put them in the window of my house to have that little pop of spring yellow and purple and get some crocus. I don't have any planted. I know they're a bulb, and I don't think the deer eat them. Do you have any crocus in your yard?
No, never have.
And I always say, I should plant some crocus in the fall, but never get around
problem.
To it.
It gets to be the fall, and
you have
it's
other
the
things.
Thanksgiving.
Right.
You haven't gotten your bulbs in the ground.
Exactly. It's too busy with other things that you're doing at the time. So I would say for me, it was the snowdrops first. Then I think it was the crocus. So you saw the purple and the yellow, and then of course the daffodils would follow suit, and then it would just transition. To me, the earlier parts of spring always start out to be more yellow and then sort of transition to pink, don't you think?
Good point.
And you have these sort of various shifts of color depending upon how late you are in the season. But one of the things that I actually like to look at, which I didn't learn about until later, was Lenten roses. Are you familiar with Lenten roses?
I am.
I didn't realize I even had them. The person that owned my house before me was a master gardener. And I noticed that the snow had subsided, and I saw this beautiful flower that almost looked like a tiny rose in the snow. And I pulled it out, and I thought, this is beautiful. So I cut some of them, and I put them in a little vase, and I thought, what are these? So I looked them up online, and they said they're called the Lenten roses. The deer don't seem to go near them, and they come in a variety of colors. And mine range in colors between pinks and greens. And some of them are sort of pink with green. Some of them are sort of green with pink. And then I have a beautiful, rich sort of pink. And then green like you wouldn't believe. And white. They are magnificent. So often when I have St. Patrick's Day, I will cut all the green ones. And I don't even buy flowers anymore. I just have three slow arrangements of Lenten roses in green, and they are just magnificent.
Oh, you're so lucky to have those.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. Now, another flower that would be blooming at this time of the year, in fact, I lost mine because I had a tree come down and knock it down, is witch hazel. Are you familiar with witch hazel?
No, not really.
Witch hazel blooms in February. It's the most interesting plant
is
that I've ever
yellow?
Seen.
Is it yellow? Does it have yellow flowers?
It comes in different colors. Mine happened to be orange.
Oh.
And one day I said, I think there's flowers blooming in the snow. And it is the witch hazel tree, which comes in a multitude of colors. Yellow is very popular for witch hazel, but mine happened to be orange, and it was just strikingly beautiful.
Oh, I think I like the orange even better.
Yeah, and it just, against my sage room, the orange just popped, and it was just like, I really looked forward to that. So there are early bloomers, and if you copy some of this stuff down or listen to some of this in the archives, you should take note and then remember in the fall to plant some of these things. So it's really nice to start to see those first pops of color, I think, when the snow subsides.
Well, have you ever tried to force the budding? I mean, people do that. I think it's very easily done with forsythia. I mean,
okay.
You can actually cut some of your forsythia branches
and
bring them in the house,
right.
Put them in water,
right.
And they'll bloom inside much sooner than, of course, they would outside.
I'm a very big fan of branches. I think branches are absolutely beautiful. I often say that I love winter branches when they just have that sort of almost so tight bud there, but they're just sort of wiry and they almost look like coral. I think that against the sky itself is just so beautiful of those winter branches. So I love to put branches in buckets and see what happens. But I often think there's something you have to do to branches at the bottom so that they absorb that water. I don't know if you have to cut them a certain way. You cut them underwater, but I'm wondering if there's something you have to do so it really absorbs that warmer water and then sort of matures.
Yeah, there may be.
Mm-hmm. Forsythia are probably the best, and to have some in your foyer, just there's mm-hmm. just nothing like it. Although they don't seem to, once they get in the house and you have the warmth of the artificial source of warmth, they don't seem to last that long. They seem to have, if you get a week out of them, I think you're pretty lucky.
Exactly.
Now tell me about magnolias, because my neighbors when we were growing up had magnolias, and I remember thinking they were so pretty, but I remember that they were on the branches for like 2 days, and then like, ooh, they were on the ground, and when they were on the ground, they were a mess.
They're very susceptible to weather, mm-hmm. meaning if you get, you know, a beautiful 68, 70-degree day that's
right.
completely out of context for this time of the year,
exactly.
they may bloom, and then it'll get cold again, you'll lose them.
And then so, when they're on the ground, it seems like there's a multitude of them on the ground.
And it's such a shame. Well, yeah. my mother-in-law had a beautiful magnolia right in front of her dining room, mm-hmm. and that was the thing. It would bloom, and then you know, all the flowers would be gone the next day.
Exactly. No, so it's so frustrating because it's such a pretty time of year. Did you ever see a chestnut tree bloom?
You know what? I'm not sure.
They're an interesting bloom because I don't personally like chestnuts. People sometimes do. We had a chestnut tree, and it was wild. And it blooms, and the blooms are very small, but there's like different colors in the bloom. More than one type of color. It's a really interesting bloom, and you don't see it very much. In fact, I've been really paying attention to horticulture because one of my most recent projects is going to be filmed in about 2 weeks for New Jersey Design Magazine. And yesterday I got a budget for flowers, and I can do what I want. So I'm trying to find flowers that are very unusual and unique. One of the I like green flowers a lot. And there's one flower that I like. It's called Bells of Ireland. Have you ever seen those?
I have.
I love Bells of Ireland, especially when they're all grouped together. I'm a big fan of green flowers. I just think green orchids are beautiful. And I think green flowers are sort of underrated. Is there a flower that you like in your house? I know you're a big tulip fan.
Tulips are, I think, my very favorite. But I love hydrangeas, too. Mm-hmm. We've got hydrangeas all over our yard.
Sure.
We've got my favorite are the blues. But
right.
we've also got Annabelle hydrangeas, which are white.
Right.
And gotten into pink hydrangeas a little bit this year, too.
I have bought a hydrangea is, the color is actually predicted by the lime in the soil. And you can buy a hydrangea that's sort of blue and then plant it, and you'll watch it turn to a different color based upon the nutrition that's in the soil.
For some hydrangeas, for example, the Annabelles are white no matter what you
do. That's their variety,
but,
and they won't change.
For other, I think they're called big leaf hydrangeas, they can change the color based on whether it's alkaline or acid, so
right.
whether a lot of lime or... good heavens, there's a name for the mineral that you need. Aluminum sulfate
okay.
will turn hydrangeas blue. Lime will turn it pink.
So lime is acid?
Lime is alkaline.
So you would think.
I hope.
You would think like a lime is citrusy. So in my mind, lime is lime and lime is acid.
The other lime way around? Is a whole different lime.
No,
We're
I
talking
know.
The powdery lime.
No. But just sort of you have a sort of assimilation.
Exactly.
So you think lime is alkaline probably?
Yes.
Okay.
I hope so.
Okay. No, but there's no police coming to. On the internet, we're free to say what we want. So to a degree. But so that's probably how it goes. Because I did plant purple hydrangeas, which you rarely see, and I love purple hydrangeas. And I saw them starting to turn pink, which is not a color I wanted. So I know you can amend the soil that way to do that. But I guess I'm sure there's so many oak leaf hydrangeas, there's so many different varieties and colors of them. It's kind of interesting to see that... how they work. When you have and I love white flowers too. That's another thing I love. Because when you have a white flower, you really see the stem, you see the leaves, you see the other parts. I think in recent years, people are becoming more interested in the other parts of plants and actually planting things that are more about the foliage, like hostas, than they were in previous years. And ferns and some of that stuff is becoming more popular.
I really love hostas. In fact, we've got a big leaf hosta that gets to be, oh gosh, I'm going to say like 2 feet, sometimes 3 feet tall.
Right.
And I don't even really like the
flowers.
I mean, I'll cut the flowers down after, you know, just
a few days.
Well,
the flower isn't such a showy flower. What the flower on the hosta really is the leaves. That's really the beauty. Mm-hmm. That's really the flower of it. I used to think that the hosta flower looked like asparagus to me. It was sort of long and it just didn't...
Oh, that's a good point.
It looked like asparagus. But, you know, when you have a purple flower against green foliage, that's always a good combination. Mm-hmm. But you're right. It's really the beauty of... I can't have hostas or candy to deer. It's just a waste of my time. I just have little stumps on the ground. And then it draws the deer to the yard for other things, so I just gave up on them. But if you can do them and create hosta gardens where you have a variety, variegation of foliage, it's just absolutely beautiful. But that's the thing. The deer, is, you know, as lovely as the creatures are frolicking through, they do a lot of damage.
Mm.
All right, so we're going to take some more commercial messages, and we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
And we are back with more of Modern Design here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. Modern Design is now on at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and we are on for 2 hours from 1 to 3. So looking forward to bringing you more content this year and wonderful guests ahead. Jane, last week we had Penny Passera, who was the area head of Ethan Allen, and we learned all about all the new things at Ethan Allen. It was quite interesting.
Ah.
It's fun to listen to the program if you can live, but don't forget about the podcasts. What I usually do sometimes on Sunday is I'll go through some of my old shows for content and ideas. So go to the podcast anytime, 24/7, and listen to any of our previous shows. Our topic today happens to be getting ready for spring. We have 68-degree days coming, so it's, I think, on our minds. So we're talking about different types of plantings and getting ready for spring plantings. We're also talking about doing some things to the outside of your house, like getting ready to have the deck looked at, maybe getting some estimates about having the deck power washed. Another very big thing that I like to do, but it's way too early to do it, is just having the windows professionally cleaned. Mm-hmm. I think it's well worth the money. It really makes a very big difference. You know, sometimes when people are looking to buy a house and the windows aren't clean, they may think that there's broken seals on the window. And all it is, in fact, is just the winter dust and dirt that's on the windows. So fresh, clean windows really make a big difference in the front of the house. One of the things that Jane and I were talking about when we were on break is about there's a new trend that I'm seeing this year. I talked about it in the fall a little bit, but I see it very strong for spring and people. I'm doing a lot of color consultation these days, and they're asking me for a pop of color at the front door. So, for example, if you've always had a white house with black shutters, they want to keep the black shutters, but they want to come up with a pop at the front door. And I'm seeing that a lot. In my Maplewood store, I have a lot of millennials or younger people that work in Manhattan and come home, and they want that sort of fresh, modern look to a house. I have a house in my neighborhood that was sold, and a new couple is fixing it up. And they had a warm day last week, and they painted their front door teal. A bright shade of teal with white and black. It's not a color I would have probably picked, but in that case, it was very playful. And just a little bit on the door really sort of brought the door out because the door was sort of recessed. So that was to light. Have you seen any interesting colors of doors around, Jane?
Well, I think lime green, which is, you can't have more of a pop than that.
That
and
really
yellow
is.
As
yeah.
well.
Yeah. There's some pops that I really like. In the fall, I was doing a lot of orange. The combination of gray and orange has become very popular. I'm painting lots of houses gray these days. All different shades of gray, from a light gray. Benjamin Moore's Stonington gray is a gray that I've used a lot and is very popular and great with white trim and black shutters. But pops of color. I've done plum with a gray house, which is a nice pop of color. But orange, I would say three people in the fall of last year requested me to find an interesting shade of orange as a real pop with a gray house with darker gray shutters and a pop of orange. So that was sort of a thing.
What did you go with?
Believe it or not, we went with very bright oranges. One of them is called Parrot Orange, which I did, which is a very strong, bright orange. The property was quite a distance of the road from the road, though, and we were able to do some plantings that brought the orange in, and it really worked well with their color scheme. For me personally, I kind of like that citrus green. I like green. I find I'm liking green and gray together, so if I were to do a house, I probably would do sort of a citrus green on the door and then dark charcoal gray shutters with a citrus green, and I think that's a wonderful pairing. The other color that I'm seeing a lot, again, is coming back is purples are reappearing. And they're not only reappearing on maybe the front door of houses, but they're appearing in decor. There's a Hilton Garden Inn that's just about to open in Springfield, New Jersey. It's been basically rebuilt. And I happen to peek in because I'm always looking for ideas. And a lot of the accessory upholstery, the third color, lots of grays and citrus greens, but pops of purple. And I see purple reemerging again as a color that's going to become popular. I was at a design seminar about a month ago, and I am told that we're going to see a return to more color. As I've been telling the listeners, things have gotten very bland and very simple and very monochromatic and very gray and white and sort of neutral. Walls have gotten even to where they're just doing shades of off-white. I mean, very, very, very simple. But I do think we're going to start to see a little bit more of a return to color. And I love color, so I'm really happy about that. Don't you think?
Me too.
I think color makes you feel good. It's sort of like getting dressed when you have a sort of a pretty garnet sweater on today. It doesn't make you feel good when you put on a color that really suits you. And I think the same thing is true for color in general. I do think it does look nice when you have a neutral as the backdrop, as long as you have a crisp white trim. Mm-hmm. But I do think the pops of color become very important then. That should be something that really stands out and they make you feel good. So for fall, you really want to look at doing your plantings. You want to really look at doing your planter beds. And you want to look at what you can do to make your outside space really pop this year. Believe it or not, we're at the end of our first hour. We're going to go to our news and some commercial breaks. And we'll be back for the second hour of Modern Design, where we're going to talk all about the inside of your house and how to make it wonderful for spring. Okay, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The last administration had so many carve-outs for who could be and who couldn't be adjudicated that it made it very difficult for the customs and enforcement people to do their job and enforce the laws of this country.
White House spokesman Sean Spicer speaking to reporters about instructions given to DHS from the Trump administration cutting out Obama exemptions when it comes to immigration.
The message from this White House and from the DHS is that those people who are in this country and pose a threat to our public safety or have committed a crime will be the first to go.
An MSNBC host is in hot water after stating she believes the media should be telling people what to think. Mika Brzezinski was responding to Donald Trump's demonization of the media.
He could have undermined the messaging so much that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is our job.
No one challenged her assertion. Media is supposed to tell you what to think. USA Radio News.
Do you look in the mirror and scream, "What's wrong with my hair?" Repair your hair with the guaranteed results of Ovation Cell Therapy.
Ovation Cell Therapy's revolutionary formula of vital proteins and key nutrients is used worldwide with amazing success stories. You can